You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Announcements. We'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Revelation today, chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on the tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Aser was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephthalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
All right, I'm all turned on now. Well, I hope you're enjoying the good weather. As you can see from my face, I'm sure getting some of it. And I've been watching the soccer. We went to watch some of the games that Christian Heritage was involved with, and Reuben was playing. And they actually played three games in one day, which I thought was quite a lot for kids to have to play, but they did well. And the girls played. They got their real hiding, but nonetheless had a good attitude about it. And each time they play, they look stronger and more skilled. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of it.
Brand new team,
yes. And I think that's good for the school because I think a lot of parents would like their children to be involved with some of those sort of sports. And so that might attract some more students. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this opportunity to again open the Word of Life. Lord, we ask you to guide us and lead us, help us to understand further the deep things of thy Word. We pray for our families and relatives and friends, Lord, that you'd use us to speak the words of truth and life to all of them and guide them, help them, and encourage them along the way. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're in the book of Revelation, and I've been really thinking about these things over and over again, and sometimes my mind will not close down, will not shut down. I can have that problem sometimes. And I can remember just recently this week getting up at about 1:30 in the morning because my mind would not close down and thinking about all sorts of things to do with the book of Revelation, and not only the book of Revelation, other things that come into your life which you tend to think about and ponder. But last time we were looking at this business of the sixth seal and this mention made of the earthquake. And what I get from this is that the earthquake is like a prelude to something great that's going to happen on the earth. I mean, the earthquake in itself is quite a great thing. When I say great, I mean large. And it does get your attention. Even these small ones we get here in Oklahoma so far, thank God, they've been pretty small. But they'll get your attention. The ones we have had, for example, in New Zealand, in Christchurch, while they haven't been as high as some of the ones you may have seen in, say, places like Japan, nonetheless, because they were shallow, they had a huge impact. I mean, just massive destruction. And the place where it occurred was right downtown Christchurch, which is in the South Island, and the central business area was completely decimated. Decimated. I'm saying flattened, gone, just gone. And some of the buildings would do this, the World Trade Center sort of thing, you know, bang, 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 collapsing like that. And tremendous loss of life. I think there was something like 168 people lost their lives in that particular event. We've seen some of the stuff happening here in Oklahoma with earthquakes and people pondering what's the cause of it. Some saying it might be the water injection related to fracking, etc. What to do with the water is a problem. Some people are saying, well, what you should do is just heat it up and turn it into steam. You know, don't inject it, just put it into the atmosphere like that might be a better thing to do. Then the other earthquakes that you find around the world, they have been sort of explained by geologists in terms of the plate and plate tectonics. And it does seem to line up, especially in New Zealand, where a lot of activity is taking place, where the Pacific and the Australian plate meet, and also there's a big plate boundary there next to California. And there's quite a common joke, isn't there, amongst Americans? Well, you know, maybe California will fall off the off the grid. Might be a good thing. But nonetheless, pretty bad stuff going on in terms of release of energy and destruction. And this is actually a picture of what happened there in Christchurch. Tremendous destruction in a short amount of time. This one, as I said, this is the one that Sepide actually lived through. And she gave me a lot of talk in the early days when we first were dating and discussing our histories and what happened. She had often mentioned this and what it was like to come into one of these little towns and just see it completely decimated and no help. No help coming. Not coming. Won't come tomorrow. Won't come in a week. Won't come in 2 weeks. No help coming. You just have to deal with this, you know. And they did the best they could with dead bodies everywhere and shallow graves to get rid of the bodies. So the earthquake is mentioned down here, and there were voices, thunders, lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Such was not since men were upon the earth. So something really big is coming to this earth, this seismos. Great shaking which will happen on the earth, and this one will be the one that will beat all that's coming. But as I say, if you go through the book of Revelation, you find the earthquake is like the attention getter. It's the prelude to something that's going to happen. Gets your attention, and then it happens. Seven is a very interesting thing in the book of Revelation. Seven of completion. On the seventh day, God rested. Why? Because he's tired. No, he just ceased his activities. You hear people criticizing the Bible, and they'll say, look at that, God got tired. No, that's not what the word means. It just means he ceased his activities. You know, that's all it meant in terms of the creation work that he was accomplishing. So you find this in the book of Revelation, that there is this activity that does actually come to completion. The book is not only about judgment coming on the earth, but also a completion. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, you see, and verse 5, it says, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. One thing we know about the book of Acts is that it was a taste, a foreshadow of the powers of the coming age. See over here, the powers of the age which is about to come. The age which is about to come. Yeah, that's right. They tasted that. They had those powers. And it's like a foreshadow of the age which was to come. Not this age. Not the age where we find ourselves. So that's kind of an interesting thing, isn't it? That you get this confirmed over and over again, that so over here where the book of Hebrews, speaking to the Hebrews in the Acts age, okay, they're talking about the powers, they had powers here, and you can see in that word powers, you know, here, dunamis, you can hear the word dynamite, right, dynamite, powers, of the coming age, and that age is over here. It's referring to this age over here. This one here, the age in which we are living, it's in the gap. You know, it's in the gap. The prophets looked, and they beheld, right, and they saw the suffering of Christ. They saw that. They saw those sufferings. And then they saw the glory which should follow.
so they could see these things. They could see these things. From a way off, God gave them this wonderful power to see things a way off. But the valley in between here, where we live, no, they didn't see that. That's something that was kept away from them.
Because God had a secret purpose which he purposed before the foundation of the world, before the overthrow of the world. So we see this. And if you have a look, a little bit of a look at this, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, you see some of this business. And why am I talking about this? Because it relates to things that are seen in the heavens. If you look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 16, it says this, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." So, you know, in verse 14 it says, "Peter standing up." So here's Peter. "With the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." Listen to my words. "For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day," just, you know, early in the morning. They haven't had time to sozzle up. It's too early for that. Later on in the day, they'd be, you know, possibly drunken, but not now. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Okay, well, we can relate a lot to this in terms of what we read in the book of Acts. "And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders," here it comes, "in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, this is a very interesting thing then, isn't it? Because what we see here is not completely fulfilled in the book of Acts. But the expectation is that it would be. That there would be a continuity of this. That what Joel said would be completely fulfilled. However, what we do see is we see a lot of this prophesying. We see a lot of the things related to the miraculous work of the Spirit of God. But when it comes to these things related to the business of earth, signs, beneath blood and fire, vapor and smoke, these things which relate to things in the heavens, we don't see that being mentioned as coming to pass in the book of Acts. But there is the expectation that that would occur. So what you have in the book of Acts is you have these powers of the age to come and the possibility that if things were to continue, that yes, they would come to pass in fulfillment, total fulfillment of Joel, right? And the prophets in general, coming of Jesus Christ. So that's another thing to see. And we see the business about the powers in heaven in the book of Revelation. It's all mentioned. So what I think we'll cover today is, will be these things. Summary of the seals, what lessons we can get from it, and then what's coming next. Okay, that's all I want to accomplish today. I've been thinking about my lessons. I've been thinking how complicated these things are. How many different things we look at. And it's only natural because the book of Revelation is complicated. It's one of the more difficult books to really handle. And so what we try to do is we try to cover all this ground, but in the end, we cover so much ground that we can't fuse ideas together. We can't put them together because it's just too many things. It's multivariate. Too many things. So let's try and get the simple things and make little summaries as we go. You know, summaries. They're good, right? Summaries help us to put ideas together. So I want to do that. And just before I get into that, I want to mention something that comes up in Revelation 6. So let's have a look at this, because the seals, we haven't really done with the seals. We haven't finished looking at everything that's in there about the seals. And the seals go right to chapter 8, verse 1, starting from right there in chapter 6 and going through 7 and 8. So have a look at chapter 6 of Revelation, and I want to point something out that's said here, and I don't have all the answers to this, but I want to mention it. So, in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 6, it says this, "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." It seems like a simple thing, but it says, see thou, do not do something. Don't hurt the oil and the wine. Okay? Don't hurt those things. And if you look a little bit further on, you see this appear again in 7 verse 3. It says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees. And there comes something which is an indication of why. Till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So what you find is, sometimes you'll find judgment being laid out on the earth, but only a quarter of it feels it. Or, do this, but don't hurt the oil and the wine. Or, do this, but don't do a complete job. Till another job is done. So you've got this tentative idea that's conditional. There's going to be a real destruction, but it's conditional on sealing, for example, a group of people. In this case, 144,000. God has got his eye on Israel here. In the book of Revelation, he's got his eye on Israel and he's preserving them. Yeah, he's bringing judgment, but he's also preserving them. So I've put here a passage which comes from the Old Testament, Zechariah 13:8, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. Keep a third. Keep a third. A third's kept back. So you find this Israel certainly needs to be preserved. Here's another passage which I just want to point this out. Revelation 12 and verse 14, it says, "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into the place where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent." Preserved. Three and a half. You can see there. And she's preserved. She goes out. Yeah, she's going to suffer some tribulation, but she's preserved. And this is what you find, a remnant being kept back. And yes, there's judgment going on all around, but God still keeps his eye on Israel. And that's something which I think is a constant through the scriptures, and it's preserved into the book of Revelation. Isn't it also interesting for those people who understand right division that Israel is very much important right here, right in chapter 7? Right there, back in vogue. this business of hurting, and do not hurt the oil and the wine. Now, the part that I don't understand completely is why oil and wine? Right, there will be some significance to this. The oil and the wine. What's wine associated with? Well, it's metaphorically used in all sorts of ways. For blood, for example. It's used in the emblems of the Lord's Supper. Right, and in its relationship to the New Covenant. So you find wine there. What do I believe about wine in the Bible? I believe wine is wine. I do not believe it's just grape juice. You know,
I don't believe that. I believe it's totally wine. The first miracle in Cana was Jesus turned water into real wine. And if you drank too much of that wine, you would get drunk. You know, I believe it's real wine. I don't believe it's just grape juice.
But the point is, oil and wine. Oil is used metaphorically of the Spirit. But why oil and wine here? I haven't got to the ends of. Don't know why it's oil and wine. But the idea is that, of course, these things are being preserved to nourish people and help them out. Wine is also used for medicine. Paul talks to Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake and your often infirmities. So you can see that in there. And so this word here is used of doing something wrong. Okay, so don't do anything wrong to the oil or the wine. And it's used and translated as hurt in these passages in the book of Revelation. Hurt. Don't do anything wrong to it, meaning don't hurt it. Okay, so now what I want to do is I want to do this summary. Okay, cool. Pretty cool. Okay. So, when you get to the book of Revelation chapter 6, you get this occurring. You get these seals, seven seals, opened by the Lord, one at a time. And with these seals, first of all, comes these horsemen. You get the white one, you get the red one, you get the black one, and then you get the pale one. But we need to remind ourselves that pale here means some shade of green here, possibly light green. Going on here. Okay, so what's going on with this? Well, various things, like the first horseman here is a parody of Christ. He is going forth as a Messiah in order to conquer. Okay, he goes forward to conquer. That's what he's doing. And then you get this red horseman, and with him comes this tremendous peace and stuff being removed from the earth and people fighting each other. It seems like the horseman is involved with division and utilizes the problems between peoples. And then the black one is pestilence, you know, and you get the scales and then there's lack of food. Have you ever thought about this? What would you do if all the shops just closed up and said, sorry, got no food? I have thought of this. I haven't yet done anything about it, but I think we should. I really do. I think it makes sense to have a store of food in your household in case things go bad, you know, at least until things get going again, you've got something there. And then you've got, as I say, this pale horse. So this has to do with pestilence and the idea of lack of food and stuff, and food becomes very expensive and hard to get. And then this pale thing, this is like a conglomeration of all that went before, everything that goes before this last one. And it seems to be associated with gangrene. In other words, the rot has set in. You know, the rot has really set in with this one. So you've got this sequence going on here. What can we sort of get from this in a practical kind of a way? Well, I'm sure that by the time these end time events occur, we'll see exactly what we're seeing today happening, but in extreme. For example, the white horse rider. What do we see today? Well, we got fakers, haven't we? We got lots of fakers saying, oh man, I'm the one. I am the one. Follow me. And all they are is just putting forth a lie, and they're putting on a face mask to pretend to be something when in fact they're the opposite of that. The white horse rider. We see in all sorts of manifestations. Do you think there really is, someone come galloping
you know, coming through on a white horse in the book of Revelation. You think that's what he took? I think these are all symbols. They're all symbols. And you have to interpret them for the time period that's coming. Okay? I don't believe there's going to be a white horseman literally coming through, man, with his steed. Hey! No, I don't think so. But this is going to happen. Literally, it's going to happen. There's going to be a literal event where there's going to be a false Messiah coming on this earth. Yes, I do believe that completely. And so what about this other one? This idea of, taking peace and putting one against the other. Yeah, you're seeing that all the time, man. That's happening all the time. What about this black horse ride? You know, these colors too. Have you noticed the colors? White. Yeah, that's perfect, isn't it? Lily white. But really, inwardly, full of dead men's bones. Red. We will provide you from birth till death with everything. Right? Socialism. What's their color? Red, isn't it? That's what it is. Black. Well, right now, we're seeing black being used big time with ISIS, right? They love black. You know, we're going to scare you to death, man, and you're going to do what we say because we're going to put fear into you, man. And we'll chop your heads off if you don't do what we say. You don't say what we want you to say. You know, that kind of stuff. Symbols coming through. The green, the gangrenous green. We see this certainly a lot in all. Well, you can even take a parallel with some people who are involved with the green earth movement. You know, they're trying to portray some sort of happiness that's going to come from green. In New Zealand, we have the Green Party, and they go out hugging trees and stuff like that. But when it comes to saving babies and looking at life and death and what people are doing, they don't want to be interested in that. We see all sorts of things. You can find parallels to this. Then you have the fifth seal. The fifth seal opens up. Okay, so the fifth seal opens up, and what do you have here? Well, it's all around the altar. And when you, it doesn't matter where you go in the book of Revelation, when you hit the altar, there's going to be two ideas that come out. Two ideas. One will be the idea of the Redeemer. And the other to do with the Avenger. And they are both the same. They are the Kinsman Redeemer, the Gaal, the Goal. There he is. And here you have the martyrs. And the martyrs, what they're doing is they're saying, how long? How long? How long? And this is a picture. This is, again, a symbol. Their souls are under the altar. What do you really think that there are these ghosts under some heavenly altar there, that they're really there and they're calling out like this? This is all a symbol, right? This is a symbol and picture of things that are going to happen, meaning that the people that have died before, their blood needs to be avenged. And what's the answer? Not yet. Not yet. Wait. Why? Because we've got more coming. There's more to happen. We can't avenge you yet. It's going to happen later. So, yeah, when? Well, it's going to be later because there's a great multitude coming that will be fitted out in white robes. And then six. When you come to the sixth one, that's where you get that great earthquake. And, of course, with this earthquake, the prelude for some tremendous events coming on the earth. And just to remind you about that,
just have a look at this passage, and I've got the one up here. Just have a look at chapter 6 with me at verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that exactly what we read in the book of Acts chapter 2, which would be what the book of Acts would continue on into? See, that's why I'm saying to you that the big lessons coming out of this is that when you look at
the book of Acts is certainly the beginnings of things. And if this age was removed, then this would just turn on into the book of Revelation. All those events would just carry on in to the book of Revelation. And
So you've got all these heavenly things going on, and look how scary it is. I mean, this is going to be scary. Yeah, if you look up in the heavens now, you won't really see anything to scare you. You'll look with awe and wonder, and I love seeing a clear sky. You know, beautiful, clear sky, and you look out on the Milky Way galaxy, you see all these stars, and you're just in awe of the magnificence of God. And it says in verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs. Now the word star does not necessarily mean the word star as we use it today. As we use the word star in a very scientific and specific way. We mean star to be like one of our suns, our sun. Just a repeat of that, maybe a bigger or smaller. Which I don't believe that's what it means here. When it says it falls to the earth. The stars of heaven fell under the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll. Uh-oh. Now we're talking about some very worrisome events. You look up into the heavens and you see this event occur where it says, and the heaven departed as a scroll. You see that happen and you're going to get worried, man. Life is not going to be the same after seeing that. I can promise you. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Again, that seems to be very, very consistent with the idea of an earthquake. And it says, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man and themselves and the hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Oh man, you bet your life you won't even want to look at it, because to look at it would just put the fear into you. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, fall on us. And hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. It says here, this is a prophecy now. And said to the mountains and the rocks. So they say this, those people that I just mentioned in verse 15, they say this, fall on us. So here's the quote, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So they know about the Lamb. They know about God. They know this. See, there's a lot that's given to you in this passage. So it's not like they're saying, wow, yeah, this is an interesting natural occurrence. Yeah. They know that this is an act of God, right? And people are trying to deny the obvious act of God in creation. They try to deny that. Do you know... I mean, I don't want to go off onto this for too long, but do you know that our present, when I say our, I'm talking about the scientific community, our present state of scientific knowledge about how things were created says this, that, now listen to me, time and space, matter and energy came into existence out of nothing. Now get this, right? It's not just the idea that, you know, matter and energy came out of matter and energy or something. No, the admission is this. This is the current state, that time and space, matter and energy came out of nothing. Nothing. When we say nothing, we mean not anything. Not anything. Now tell me, if you don't believe in God, but you do believe that, to me you've got a serious problem in your intellect. You have an intellectual problem. You know, you do. You have a massive intellectual problem. I just find it amazing to me. It's just an incredible thing. These people know what's going down. That's a prophecy. When this happens, they know. They know what's going down.
And no judgment's on its way, man. So that is the events of the sixth seal. But what you then get is this. Okay, so this earthquake was the prelude to this, and this great admission of what's going on, this great admission of judgment that's going on from God, knowing about the Lamb. They know all this and they admit it. And then what you get is chapter 7. And chapter 7 is like a sort of like an interlude. So, and it tells you about the multitude. Well, I'll put it in order. The 144,000 and then the great multitude of martyrs coming. The martyrs over here say, how long? How long? Not yet. I've got more to come. Then over in chapter 7, yeah, after this great number, 144,000 are sealed from the 12 tribes of Israel. Then the multitude comes and they're dealt with. And then you get in chapter 8, verse 1, there you get the last seal.
The last seal. So you just go across there to chapter 8, verse 1. And when it opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given the seven trumpets. Okay, then the seven trumpets begin. So that's how it becomes. The seven trumpets. So the seventh seal is open in chapter 8, verse 1, and then comes the seven trumpets. This is the structure of what's going on. And we do know that this here follows Matthew 24. And this is simply the beginning of sorrows. So what's coming on after that, of course, is the main event of the tribulation. So we get that. That's our picture. That's how we're seeing this summary of events that's going on with these seals.
And I think that's worthy of note and so on. And you can find, for example, these white robes. See in chapter 6, verse 11, white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed. Okay, that's right. And that's why in chapter 7, why do you find? Look down here, and I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest, and he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, that's the great multitude that's coming. That's why not all of it was sent to the earth. They had to wait till these fellow servants would be sealed. So we find this mention of Goal, the avenger. You can find in these passages at every place there. Yeah, you do find indeed. That Goal is not only the kinsman, he is Redeemer, he is also the Avenger. That's the picture. That's what's going on. What are some of the lessons learnt we can get from this? Well, the lessons learnt are that there's going to be a tremendous event coming on this earth like never has happened before. It's going to be an amazing event. And that people will come to realize, they will have to admit that yes, there is a God, that this Jesus is the Lamb of God, and they will yell out and scream out for the rocks to fall on them, because they're not going to be able to face the reality of God's judgment that's coming on. What else do we learn from this? Well, we learn from the symbols, the ideas of how these false messiahs are going to go out and fool people. That, yeah, we can see the beginnings of that even in our own age. We can see things going on and how it's possible that people can be deceived, because we see the same deception going on now. When you vote, how do you vote? Do you vote for this person because you know that this person is righteous, he's correct, he's saying the correct things, and he believes what he's saying? When you vote, do you vote for that, or are you simply voting for the person who has the least amount of error and sin? Isn't it true, if you're really honest, that when you vote, or when you look at the things that are going on around you, and you have to take a side for righteousness' sake, you have to, because if you don't, you're allowing everybody else to take the worst candidate, right? So a vote really is, well, which is the least amount of damage we can do here? And that's how you vote. I don't see any difference here than there is when we vote in New Zealand. You vote for the least damage. Damage control.
one day you won't need to vote. For us, we will have the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and we'll have all the righteousness there. For the people on the earth, Jesus Christ will be king, man, king. And where the word of a king is, there is power, right? That's a good biblical idea. Well, I'm excited about it. I'm excited to understand the differences that's going on and our hope, the differences because of right division and the clarity that comes to us. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time. We pray, Lord, that the summary of chapter 6 and 7 would be helpful to us. And as we go further into it, Lord, that you give us more and more light. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.